And time now for our regular motoring feature. It's called Backfire. Today, Anton van Alleman flying solo. Dave McGregor is away on active duty. So welcome to you, Anton.
Dave, how's it going?
What's on the show today?
We chat about the Chinese Photon, chat a little bit about some motoring news, some interesting tidbits.
Wow. Well, let's get straight on into it.
Right, Joe, Dave, the vehicle we tested this last week is the Photon. there's a bit of a story behind that, and that is that we were going to be given the new V9 Photon, which is the heavyweight, the new heavyweight in the Photon camp. It looks fantastic. It really does, but couldn't wait to get our hands on that. But unfortunately, with it being the only demo, it had to be sent back to factory for media purposes, which I don't understand, Dave.
They've only got one.
They've only got one, but I mean, we are the best podcast motoring show in the country, so why would they want to send it back for media?
It's also very interesting to only have one vehicle available for the media fleet. Yeah. That thing's going to get trashed. It will not last. Well, I mustn't be skeptical, but I mean, generally motoring journalists are known to test things and to test them to the point where almost they, well, let's just say if there is a weakness, they'll find it.
Yeah, that's very true. Drive it like you style it sort of is the journalist's point of view. But that kind of showed through. We were given the sort of existing top of the range, which is the G7, which is Photon's 4x4. And, you know, it was the full house vehicle that we were given. But having said what you said, it's obviously been used for a while with as a demo, and there were little bits and pieces which started to show things like the seat belts, sensors, and little odds and ends.
You know, in a new vehicle, even though it's been put through its paces by media journalists, if you've got quality components, they will take quite a lot of punishment before you start to see or feel that they are tired. And I think in a sense, if you are using components that are less than top of the range, it's going to show up very quickly. And clearly this vehicle has got weaknesses.
It did. But having said that, you know, there are small weaknesses or small issues with this one. And I think that can be put down to the fact that it comes through a different channel. You know, when you buy your car as a new vehicle, it goes through your PDR, which is your pre-delivery inspection. Things get looked at very closely. And it's just little niggles. I mean, that car comes out of the factory 100%. And those things get sorted out before you actually take delivery of your vehicle, where these vehicles don't. They come out the factory and they get shoved out into the dealerships and let out to all the rally drivers or supposed willing rally drivers around. So, yeah, those are little niggles, but I mean, those are really small little niggles. Those are, you know, there's answers to reasons why they're there. It's not necessarily a inferior product.
Okay. So Photon is not a mark that's had much in terms of publicity, as far as I'm aware.
No, it's not.
It doesn't immediately come to mind as one of the new, because there are a number of new marks on the market, pardon the pun, that are top of mind. They've been pretty much everywhere, seen and accepted by the market. I'm amazed at how the market has responded to the alternatives to the big German expensive luxury cars.
I'm excited about that. In the very beginning, we were slow to the uptake, but not anymore. So, and I mean, I think it's a great thing because their products are good.
Yeah, but Photon hasn't been among them, as far as I'm aware.
No, they haven't. They have been a bit overlooked. To be honest with you, I think it's because they're not the prettiest model that's available. So
what has it got going for it? If it's not a pretty model, it's not. They've only got one demo.
Well, that's in the news.
Unless they're giving them away, why would you buy one?
Well, Dave, this is where my little journey starts, although it was only a week long. I know if Dave McGregor was here, we would certainly be sparring on this topic, because the little bit of time he spent in the vehicle, his impressions weren't very good. Mine was exactly the same when I got the vehicle. You know, it doesn't look great, it's old styling. But then you get inside and it's great, like all the Chinese vehicles are. It's got all the LED displays. It's got all the bells and whistles, including a sunroof, which is the one plus, I must say, on the Chinese vehicles. They sell them to you fully kitted. You know, you don't have to go and spend a fortune choosing your options. So anyway, having said that, to be honest, my first opinion is mutton dressed up like lamb, you know, here we go. And I drove it around town a bit, but then I had to make an emergency trip up to Cockcliff on a Friday afternoon at 3:30 in the traffic, etc., and get back the same evening. So off I went in the Photon, and our relationship started. It started to grow on me. And by the time I was finished the end of that trip, I actually got it, and I realized that this vehicle has got a big place in the market. And that is that it's number one. First of all, I have done a bit of homework on the vehicle in terms of the local market, and it's extremely reliable.
Okay.
And the reason behind that is it's got a Cummins engine in it.
Oh,
So, I
wow.
mean,
So
Cummins
it's
are reliable,
not the
you know.
1500
It's a 2 liter turbo.
ubiquitous everywhere engine.
Now, this was done in a collaboration with Cummins. The gearbox is a ZF gearbox, fantastic bulletproof gearbox. So what they've done is they've been very clever. They've taken sort of old school, old styling, Bucky technology, you know, obviously modernized it with those components. But in terms of the rest of it, it's very simple. You know, they haven't overdeveloped the vehicles like a lot of the new ones do to be able to get to the comfort levels and all the tech levels that they do. So it's more than powerful on the open road. I had a great time with it on the sand road out in Carcliff, put it through its paces. It's an improved 4x4 old school Bucky, but improved without losing any of the reliability.
So
Extremely
it's a
comfortable.
fully kitted four-wheel drive vehicle.
100%. And four-wheel drive functions on the go. You
Ground
can change
clearance.
everything. Perfect. 100% is its ground clearance is much more than that of the 2x4. So it's very capable off-road. And
Transfer case?
It's got diff locks, transfers, the
And
transfer
diff lock.
case locks. Yeah. So it's very capable, and it's all electronically controlled. Very comfortable place to be in the cabin.
So it's not a permanent four-wheel. Is it a part-time four-wheel drive or a selectable four-wheel?
Selectable, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, you can
What's
have
the
it.
fuel
So,
economy like?
fuel economy was great. I actually didn't get the figures, but I can tell you I drove up there and back probably on a quarter tank.
Gee.
So, you know, according to what I could see on the gauge and the actual mileage of that vehicle should do close on 1,000 Ks on a tank. So
And it's diesel,
it's diesel.
so
It's
you're
very powerful. So Cummins diesel. So I,
Does it sound like a diesel?
it's no, it's a lot quieter. All the modern diesels are. You know, they don't sound like the tractors that they're used to. Sure, it's not a petrol, but it's a lot quieter than the old school diesels.
Okay.
What I like about this one is the technology. I had a little bit of a look at the tech in the motor. It's not highly reliant on overboosting of a turbo, which a lot of the
Yeah.
Chinese vehicles are. So it's got quite a bit of tech in that motor to up the.
Does it have a turbo?
It does, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, any diesel motor nowadays needs a turbo. It's still diesel. I'm still a petrol fan. You can't get the amount of power out of a diesel as you can in a petrol.
Apparently, if you unless you do regular long trips, the diesel's not a great option.
It's not. No, 100%. Diesel takes longer to warm up. It's not as efficient when it's cold. It's doesn't burn the fuel as well. Much higher carbon buildup, and therefore you're permanently building up carbon on short trips. So yeah, diesel ultimately needs to be on not your normal town driving type vehicle. So if you are just you buying the vehicle for that reason, seriously consider your options there between diesel and petrol
Or electric.
or electric.
Another story.
So yeah,
But
look at
it
the.
sounds to me like you last week we had a chat. You had already an impression of the Photon, and it was a pre-impression, and it wasn't, let's shall we say, it didn't shoot the lights out last week or the week before. But now you've had a bit of time with the vehicle, and on that basis, that you instead of listening to secondhand information or reading someone else's opinion, you've had a chance to put it through its paces. A man that really knows what's what when it comes to motoring, and not easily impressed, if I might just add. And you seem to be very impressed.
I wasn't in the beginning, but I certainly, as I said to you, in the end, I get it. I get its place in the market.
And where does it come in price-wise?
Okay, it starts at $399. But obviously, this is the 4x4 double cab, fully spec version. Comes in, I think it's around about $520.
Wow! So that's half of the price of a.
That's where I got it. I was like, this isn't actually a bad product. It's not. It really isn't a bad product. As I explained, I'm quite happy with it. But this is where I realize where its place stands. I mean, you can buy two of them instead of a Hilux or a Ranger, you know. And are those vehicles twice as good? No, I can tell you they're not.
The question always comes back to, will it retain its value long enough for it to be worthwhile in terms of getting out of the vehicle at the end of its useful lifespan, if that's what you can call it, or if you want to trade up. You know, a lot of folks just run for a couple of years. They don't want to go the full 6-year, the longest warranty. Well, yeah, warranty and also repayment cycle. There has been a lot of question around all these new entrants to the market. As the first owner, you're bulletproof because you've got warranties, so it doesn't really matter what happens after a while. But if you're the second owner, a lot of the warranty falls away on the new vehicle marks. And also, there is that you're headed into terra incognita. You don't know what the future holds, because none of these vehicles have been around long enough to do a 100,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000,000, those vehicles that have done over 1 million kilometers, and you think, how's that possible? 1 million kilometers, hey? I mean, is it possible?
100%. I mean, I actually last week in the workshop we had a vehicle there. You know what? And it actually lose. It was a BMW, the old school BMW. The thing had six. No, I beg your pardon. It was a Toyota, and it had 680,000 k's on the clock. Oh. I had to read that odometer twice. I couldn't believe it. So, and I certainly have seen the vehicles that have done over 1 million kilometers. So yeah, that's okay. There has been a lot of work done along the line, but yes, the vehicle's still running.
They've got a legacy, and one can always refer back to it, and it's a kind of marketing legend. But the new vehicles don't have, and they're never going to have, because until they have been in the country for 20 odd 30 years, maybe then you can look back. But right now, it's
not, but you know what, Toyota also aren't making cars like they made them 20 years ago. You know, they've had to also keep up with the curve, and unfortunately keeping up with the curve in terms of technology, what the public wants, it goes against reliability, as well as of course keeping your shareholders happy. You know, that unfortunately is the biggest driver in the motor industry.
So now there's a lot of sentiment still that people are banking on. You're buying a vehicle because sentimentally and traditionally it's been very dependable, a good resale value, ding, 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 and there's a premium. Mm. Now you're saying, well, here is a very good vehicle and it's at a lot lower premium. It's got good bones. Mm. It's got Cummins heritage. It's got good gearbox, good engine. You are comfortable with all the whistles and gongs that it offers you at a fraction of the price of its competitors in the more established range. Will it stand the test of time?
Well, only time will tell.
Only time will tell. So is it a good idea to buy one?
Well, considering what it's got in it and considering the track record it's had, which has been a couple of years, I would definitely look at it. If that is your affordability range, I would most definitely have a look at it.
And what are they selling now in the second-hand market? Obviously, the new model is not available in the second-hand market, but the predecessors.
I've seen them anything from 300.
Okay.
So, you know, and again, talking on the resale value, as you were saying, South Africans have been scared of buying these foreign products because of resale. But ultimately, there's two things that drive the resale value of a car. It's popularity, and a big part of that popularity is reliability. So you ultimately look at those two factors, and it can pretty much give you the trend as to where we go with any form of vehicle on its aftermarket value. Now, if you take all that into consideration, you'd look at what the Chinese secondhand market has been doing. It hasn't been great. But we're getting to a point in time where they've been around long enough. And let me tell you, Chery, which obviously is, I think, the longest standing popular Chinese brand that we've had in the country. In other words, it's sort of been here the longest. People are starting to realize that its reliability is good. And the secondhand value of Chery's gone up through the roof.
Oh, really?
So, you know, if you look at those trends, I think we don't have to be so scared of the Chinese vehicles anymore.
Wow. Well, there it is, Photon. Not a bad review from Anton von Alleman, and that says something. You know, it's one thing listening to people waxing lyrical about motoring and motor vehicles and things. A lot of the journalists had a healthy interest, and they, you know, they've done their homework. But you have a deep and long heritage of and family heritage of building race cars, rally cars, top-end performance vehicles, and then, of course, working as you have done for many, many years as the owner of a service center in Bolito, and you really know your stuff. So when you say it, I listen. So well done, Photon. That's a thumbs up from Anton. What's next?
Dave, something interesting that I read yesterday is that Tesla, doing one of the biggest recalls in history, over 2 million vehicles have been recalled. And, I mean, that's massive worldwide, 2 million vehicles on a recall. And the reason for it is, which is, you know, I found quite interesting because they're not the only vehicles, especially with the electric era. You know, we're going to come across these problems, and here's the first big one. Obviously, all their doors are electronically controlled, being an electric car. You know, it's all obviously those are the bells and whistles that come with them. And what's been happening is the vehicles, when they're involved in the accident, that specific function is shut down.
Like a pyrofuse function,
if you lose the power in your electrical system, which most of the time happens in an accident, you're trapped in the car.
Wow.
And numerous people have lost their lives with it.
Can't get
out the car.
Wow.
There has been no thought, which it's certainly no, you know, it's not only Tesla's issue. It's all the manufacturers. And I think they've all realized this. And
you've got to have an override.
You've got to have a mechanical override system. Yeah. So an emergency system in place with good old-fashioned cable. And, you know, that's interesting. You know, new era brings with little problems that no one even thought of. Oh. So, yeah, that was quite an interesting one. And then, of course, Dave, the the fuel price.
Oh.
It's, you know, we're not negative. Certainly don't want to be negative. But I think we need to somehow or other, as consumers, somewhere along the line, start asking questions about the diesel price in this country, or the fuel price will stop. I've unpacked it from the beginning to the end, and it's quite scary as to, you know, by the time we put the fuel in our tank, how much we're actually paying in taxes and fees. And if you take the product that comes in right from the port to where it goes in your tank, it goes through numerous sectors, you know, wholesale sectors, refineries, this, that, and the other. It crosses about 6 or 7 industries' hands before it gets into your tank. And if you take each and every crossing, taxes paid, different levies are paid. So if you add it all up, by the time you're putting the fuel in your tank, over 80% of it is in tax. And, you know, that's a big whack. So I know they always keep going on about the diesel, oil price. Yes, it does affect it, but that's only actually affecting 20% of the price of what you actually pay.
That's an interesting one.
Mm.
So most of it is taxes.
Yeah, absolutely. Taxes and levies. And
so that's why the government can, if in the event of, as we've seen, you know, unprecedented fuel input costs from crude, they can, in fact, hold the prices down by reducing taxes.
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, part of this new, which is I think, been hidden, again, they're talking about it because of the Middle East war, et cetera, you know, oil price going up. That's where the increase comes up. But ironically enough, behind the scenes, the Road Accident Fund has added an extra fee to the diesel price or to the fuel price.
Because they're in such a huge hole. I mean, there's been maladministration, I would assume, because the fund is technically, I think it was almost, if not bankrupt and close to it.
Yeah.
And it needed to be shored up. So there we go, put another tax.
Yeah. There we go. So is the 2 rand because of the oil price? Or is this, well, certainly a very small portion of it, but is the bulk of the 2 rand towards that extra levy?
It's pretty clear. It's time to clear the decks and get some proper government now in our beloved country. We would love that. Anton, nice chatting, and we'll catch up in a week's time for another Backfire with Anton van Alleman. And next week, of course, Dave McGregor will be back.
Dave will be back.
And all will be well on the Dave Charles Show on 88 FM. It's 28 minutes past 10.